Good afternoon, 4:30 and 81 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
I think they should be concerned short term. In the long term, I think it'll be better. At least it better be better.
Ashland City Commissioner Kevin Gunderson says there's no cause for panic over the city's water problems, but they do need to be fixed, and quickly.
Three persons fall from a cliff at the Red River Gorge.
And two Kentucky congressmen react to John Boehner's resignation as House Speaker.
In sports, it's the Chiefs and the Packers in Monday Night Football.
Bud Luke has the Sox.
Cloudy tonight with isolated showers. Lows will be in the 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Three hikers suffered traumatic injuries when they fell off a cliff in the Red River Gorge late Saturday night or early Sunday. Michael Hackett is with Wolf County Search and Rescue. He tells WYMT the accident happened near the Douglas and Osborne Bend trails.
Two of them landed on a slope and ended up rolling toward the Red River, and both of their feet and part of their legs were in the river. By the time we got to them, they were all hypothermic and severely injured and in pain. The third person was the most injured, who lost her consciousness twice while we were there.
Hackett says up to 50 people helped with that rescue. All three persons are being treated in area hospitals.
The Carter County Sheriff's Department is asking for help in locating an Olive Hill teenager who has been missing since September 4th. Savannah Meadows is 15 years old. She is described as 5 feet 2 and weighing 115 pounds. When she was last seen, she had dyed platinum blonde hair. Anyone with information about Savannah Meadows is asked to call the Sheriff's Office at 606-474-5616.
Moorhead's mayor says dredging Triplett Creek isn't the answer to alleviating flooding downtown. According to Jim Tom Trent, those who believe it is are taking a simplistic view.
Dredging and Triplett Creek is not the 100% problem here. There are so many other areas that lead into there. You've got water that will back up when it gets so high. You've got water that maybe be coming through some infrastructure that is outdated. You've got some small little tributaries, small little creeks around town that get backed up with debris. There's so many different factors.
Trent says those additional factors include the U.S. EPA's requirements for doing that type of work on a waterway, along with the cost, which has been estimated to be millions of dollars. He believes it's also important to review an upcoming engineering study of Moorhead's downtown flooding problem before any mitigation projects are undertaken.
Ashland has received a check from the Federal Emergency Management Agency for almost $30,000. City Manager Benjamin Bitter says the money is reimbursement for recovery costs the city incurred during the first 2 days of a major snowstorm earlier this year.
That covers our cost for snow removal. So if you think about that, we spent nearly $30,000 in a 48-hour period to scrape roads, to put salt down, and to ensure that the public was safe to go out in the community. And so you think of these events in a larger scale, that if we have a snowstorm lasting a week or 2 weeks, it puts a drain on resources.
Bitter says Ashland has requests pending for additional reimbursements. He's hoping Ashland receives more than $100,000.
Replacement of damaged filters at the Ashland Water Treatment Plant began today, and City Engineer Ryan Eastwood says the work could result in reduced water pressure or brief outages in some parts of town. Eastwood is estimating the first round of repairs to cost about $225,000, and he says now is a better time to make them than it would be closer to the holiday season. Mayor Chuck Charles says the work may cause some inconvenience, but it'll be worth it because the plant's capacity to generate water will be increased. He says it's a little like overhauling your bathroom.
But, you know, the improvements at the end of this, we're going to be able to produce a lot more and, you know, we'll have a better system. And that's what everybody wants, I think.
Ashland's water plant has been beset by ruptured lines, outages, and low water pressure for the past 2 years.
Ashland Commissioner Kevin Gunderson says correcting the city's water troubles is absolutely essential. He says people have to be able to depend on Ashland for services.
Frequent and sporadic water outages erode consumer confidence. At the same time, it also erodes commerce and their confidence. So it is critically important that we have a functional water plant to provide the proper infrastructure for our area.
Gunderson says it'll be hard to persuade prospective businesses to locate in Ashland without reliable water service.
A federal grant awarded to the University of Kentucky will allow the school to help the U.S. Special Forces. The school's College of Health Sciences is receiving $4.2 million from the Department of Defense to support research on injury prevention in special operations soldiers. Dr. Michael Karp is Vice President of Health Affairs at UK.
The Institute will have far-reaching effects on the increasing performance and stamina of those that defend our country on a daily basis. There's no question that this research institute can have benefits far beyond Lexington and far beyond the University of Kentucky, and we're grateful to be able to impact the lives of the soldiers and those that serve us both home and abroad.
Karp says the research will include field studies on the physical demands of Marines during their special operations training.
Morehead State University intends to raise its academic requirements for unconditional admittance to the school. MSU President Dr. Wayne Andrews says the new enrollment strategy is based on solid data and designed to give all students the best chance for success.
Make sure we attract students that can be successful. And for those that would be provisionally admitted, make sure that we provide wraparound services so that we do everything we can if they're not quite prepared to be a full-time regularly admitted student. We bring them up to speed and do it in a short period of time with a lot of service.
Andrew says the changes should increase the percentage of MSU students who are able to graduate within 4 to 6 years.
Kentucky's 27th District State Senator has been named to head the Chamber's Budget Review Subcommittee on Education. Steve West was appointed to the post by Senate President Robert Stivers. The Bourbon County Republican says the panel's job will be to gather information about how to best fund Kentucky's education budget and then give it to the Senate's GOP caucus during the 2016 session. West notes, in light of some current issues, adding more money for education will be a huge challenge.
It's a critical time. It's going to be a big budget year with all the retirement issues and all the other areas vying for funding. So it's going to be a tough year, but I think I'm up to the task, and I think we just need to be smart with our money and make wise decisions and just do the best we can.
West became the 27th District's state senator after winning a special election earlier this year. He replaced Democrat Walter Blevins, who was elected last November as Rowan County's judge executive.
A Michigan woman whose son was killed and husband was seriously injured in a DUI-related accident 13 years ago is calling on Kentucky lawmakers to eliminate a judge's discretion to grant shock probation to people convicted in such cases. Debbie Moskowa testified Friday before House and Senate members of the Judiciary Committee. She's supporting a bill introduced by Republican Senator Julie Rocky Adams of Jefferson County that would deny judicial discretion for early release in a manslaughter or reckless homicide case involving an intoxicated offender. Democratic State Senator Robin Webb of Carter County isn't so sure it's a good idea to add a 14th exception to a judge's authority to approve shock probation. Moskowa lost her 24-year-old son, Ricky, in a four-car crash on I-71. She says two men were arrested in connection with the accident.
One was released after serving only 240 days of a 13-year sentence. The other was sentenced to 7 years and was released after serving only 3 years.
I would like to think, from a Christian standpoint, that if my son or daughter got into a vehicle with an impaired driver and met their demise, that, you know, I don't know that I could wish additional heartache, perhaps on another family where there's a hope of recovery, but I don't know. I can't really relate to your loss.
Rocky Adams's bill is expected to go before the House and Senate Judiciary Committees when the Kentucky General Assembly convenes next year.
Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massey is taking issue with House Speaker John Boehner over the speaker's assertion Friday that he's resigning for the good of the institution. The Lewis County Republican claims Boehner's leadership has actually undermined the House of Representatives. Massey appeared on the Sean Hannity radio program.
Contrary to what he said in his going away speech, he has destroyed this institution. He's kicked people off committees. He's taken away their subcommittee chairmanships. He's taken away their funding. He has abused power. He creates these crises that we've got by not passing the appropriations bills. We need somebody who will put out a platform to reform the institution so that this does not happen again.
Massey says there was an obvious lack of support for Boehner continuing as Speaker after Republican members of Congress returned from their districts at the end of last month.
The lone Democrat in Kentucky's congressional delegation isn't sure the House will function any better when John Boehner vacates the Speaker's post. However, Louisville's John Yarmuth says the move is likely to prevent a government shutdown.
I think this guarantees that there will not be a shutdown because he will be able to pass a clean funding bill with Democratic votes.
But Yarmuth is quick to add Congress may not function any better after Boehner departs. In fact, he says things could get worse.
Speaking in New York at a fundraiser for the LGBT community, President Obama made an apparent reference to the same-sex marriage issue that has stirred controversy in Rowan County and elsewhere. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg has the story.
The president says religious freedom should be cherished, but it should not override constitutional rights. He claims some people are using the issue for political purposes.
We need to reject politicians who are supporting new forms of discrimination as a way to scare up votes.
Because of her religious beliefs, Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis has refused to sign marriage licenses for gay couples. A deputy clerk in her office is doing so in order to comply with a federal court order. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
An event in Ashland tomorrow will mark the start of a series of forums around the state being held by the Kentucky Health Cooperative. It will be held from 9 to 5 at the Ashland Plaza Hotel on Winchester Avenue. Jack Tillman is the cooperative's vice president. He says the forums will involve private conversations with local health officials about their concerns about a variety of insurance issues.
We live in a day and age where everything has to be protected as far as health information, so we're actually going to have draped off cubes with white noise generators above so somebody can come in and not have to worry about whatever they're going to discuss being overheard by anybody else. This is our way to make it easier for our members to reach out to us rather than having them contact an 800 number or rather than having them come to Louisville. We'll go to where they are, regardless of whether it's Ashland in the east, Paducah in the west, Bowling Green in the south.
Among the issues expected to be discussed are how claims are handled, provider networks, and insurance plans.
Morehead State University's Fall Career Fair is being held tomorrow from 10 to 1 in the Student Center. Career Services Director Julia Hawkins says a variety of businesses, nonprofit groups, and educational institutions will be on hand.
We have over 90 organizations who are coming. Both graduate schools as well as employers who are looking for internships, full-time positions, part-time positions. It's a really good time to network, our students to network with employers, as well as find information on furthering their career with education.
The career fair is also open to the general public. A full list of participating organizations can be found at moreheadstate.edu/career.
A $1 million endowment fund has been established to help maintain the governor's mansion in Frankfort. The fundraising was spearheaded by First Lady Jane Beshear, who says she felt it was important in order to help save some of Kentucky's history.
For raising this endowment to be able to make sure that there will be funds there to take care of it in the future was very important to me.
To recognize her work, a monument has been placed in the garden outside the mansion. It has a plaque describing her efforts and a bronze sculpture of a horse's head on top. It just happens to be Big Time Magic, a show horse that the First Lady owns. Taking a look at your weather for tonight, mostly cloudy skies with scattered showers. Lows will be in the lower 60s and the chance of rain is at 40%. For tomorrow, cloudy with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms early, then numerous showers and isolated thunderstorms later on, highs in the mid-70s. Chance of rain tomorrow is at 70%. For tomorrow night, cloudy with numerous showers in the evening, then scattered showers late. Lows will be around 60 degrees. The chance of rain is at 70%. For Wednesday, cloudy with scattered showers, highs in the upper 60s, chance of rain 40%, and on Thursday, mostly cloudy with isolated showers, highs in the mid-60s, the chance of rain on Thursday is at 20%. It is 81 degrees in Ashland, 80 degrees in Flemingsburg, it's 78 in Inez, 82 degrees in Lexington, 80 degrees in Winchester, and right here in Moorhead, it is currently 81 degrees.
4:45, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It is mighty nice to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment this afternoon, Project Graduate is going on this week in Kentucky, and MSPR's Michael Gustin has all the details.
The Project Graduate program is designed to get former students back on track to receiving a degree that they previously started working on. Throughout this week, Kentucky's institutions for higher learning will team up with the Council on Post-Secondary Education to make Project Graduate happen. CPE Vice President Aaron Thompson says there's likely one main reason why those students who still don't have their diplomas were drawn away from their studies.
We understand that life gets in the way, even good things like marriage, career opportunities, and many other cool things. But as semester passes, and then a year, and then 3 kids later, you still haven't finished college. Now it's time for you to come back and do so.
Project Graduate is aimed at assisting students with at least 80 credit hours towards their bachelor degrees and at least 30 hours towards completing an associate's degree. Thompson notes that, among other things, having a college degree can help Kentuckians earn more money and improve the quality of Kentucky's workforce.
One of the ways that we measure success, obviously, is how happy we are in what we do. And so we know that those who have a college degree tend to be happier in their job. So that's one reason why they need to come back to college.
Another incentive for students to come back is to improve their overall access to health care. Thompson says they can work on their degree while climbing the ladder in their career path, too.
They need this degree to climb up the career ladder in order to add to our society, to their careers, and to the lives of their families and generations afterwards.
Since 2012, Project Graduate has helped more than 1,800 students earn degrees, while over 1,000 are currently in progress. This upcoming spring term, four-year campuses will offer incentives to qualifying students to come back and get that degree. More information can be obtained online at projectgraduate.org. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
It is 4:47. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock. And sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad, operated by the Kentucky Innovation Network at Moorhead State University. The Innovation Launchpad is a local and state-supported business incubator for new or startup businesses with consulting services, office spaces, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Moorhead, the Innovation Launchpad can help grow companies, encourage business partnerships, and create jobs. More information at 606-783-9536.
A rematch of Super Bowl I tonight. Good evening. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley. Monday Night Football. The Kansas City Chiefs travel to Green Bay's Lambeau Field to square off with the Packers. MSPR's Michael Gustin reports. After a bitter loss to Denver in Week 2, the Chiefs will look to bounce back against 2-0 Green Bay. It will be a challenge for Andy Reid's team going against the Packers team that has won 10 straight at home. Quarterback Aaron Rodgers hasn't thrown an interception at Lambeau Field in 17 straight games. The last time the two teams met was in 2011, when the Packers saw a 13-0 start end with a 19-14 loss to KC at Arrowhead. The odds are in the Chiefs' favor tonight. Kansas City has won 6 of its last 7 matchups with the Cheeseheads. For more on State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin.
The Cincinnati Bengals are pretty pleased with their 3-0 record. They won yesterday in Baltimore 28-24, thanks to Andy Dalton's 7-yard touchdown pass to A.J. Green with 2:10 left to play. Despite his team's hot start, Green says the Bengals know they have their skeptics, who continue to point at the Cincinnati's 0-4 record in the playoffs in the last 4 seasons.
You know, we don't listen to the noise.
we're a family in there, and a lot of people don't understand what we go through. You know, people, we don't listen to all that. We didn't have them win a playoff. We're winning, and that's all that matter. We take 1 week at a time, and who's the next team is another team in our way. We don't think about it as, oh, we got to look into the playoffs. So we're just taking it a week at a time.
Green caught 10 passes Sunday for a career-best 227 yards and 2 touchdowns. Things are good right now for the Morehead State football team. The Eagles won their second straight game on Saturday, routing Davidson 34-0 in their PFL opener at Jane Stadium. Coach Rob Tenier says it was easily the best overall effort of the season by his 2-2 ball club.
Offense started slow. We got going. Defense came up with some big stops and some turnovers, takeaways in the first half. We punted the ball well. We covered well on our kickoffs. So, yeah, you know, I thought we were piecing it together and thought we played a really good team game.
Austin Gayhafer's 4 touchdown passes led the MSU offense, while the defense recorded its second straight shutout, the first time that's happened for the program since 1979. The Eagles visit Jacksonville for a conference battle next Saturday. The Kentucky Wildcats are looking forward to Saturday's contest at home against Eastern Kentucky. The football Cats are fresh off a victory over the weekend against number 25 Missouri. UK running back JoJo Kemp played a key role in securing the win against the Tigers. He and his teammates couldn't be happier.
You know, we live it now. It was a great win. Everybody was happy. It's great to see the fans up. And like I said, you know, we came here to change the game. And, you know, once we get those type of wins, it's great to see that the program is moving in the right direction.
The Wildcats are 3-1 on the young season, 2-1 in the SEC. Eastern Kentucky has announced that freshman defensive lineman Joey Kramer died in a single car accident over the weekend. Kentucky State Police were notified around 8 a.m. Sunday of the crash on Tates Creek Road west of Richmond. A police statement said Kramer, 19, died when his car went off the road and struck a tree. Looking to snap an 8-game losing streak, the Cincinnati Reds are on the road in Washington playing an afternoon game. Currently in the bottom of the 6th inning, the Nats lead the Reds 3-0. If there is one silver lining to the season, it's that the Reds will not reach triple digits in the loss column this year. With only a few games remaining, the Redlegs are 63-92, putting them in last place in the NL Central, 34.5 games behind first place St. Louis. Former Morehead State men's basketball coach Donnie Tindall has accepted a new position. According to CBSSports.com, Tindall has agreed to become a volunteer associate athletic director at Tennessee Wesleyan College. Tindall was fired in March after one season as the Tennessee basketball coach because of an NCAA investigation into his time at Southern Mississippi. Tindall went 16-16 in one season in Knoxville. It was a 1-1 weekend for the Morehead State volleyball team as it started OVC play at Weatherby Gym. After beating Tennessee State in 5 sets Friday night, the Eagles went the distance on Saturday in losing to Belmont. Coach Jamie Gordon says his team is showing signs of improvement.
Offense has really been rolling well for us. We've got to pick up a couple things on the defensive ends. But overall, I think we're making the steps that we want to be making. Maybe just not as big as we'd like them to be, but I think our team is working really hard on progressing.
The Eagles have a conference match on Wednesday evening at arch rival Eastern Kentucky. Morehead State soccer coach Warren Lipka thinks his Eagles took a big step Sunday. While Abby Tim's overtime goal gave MSU a 1-0 OVC win over Belmont at Jane Stadium, Lipka was most proud of the work the Eagles did to keep the Bruins off of the scoreboard.
It's one of the things we've been preaching. I mean, even if we would have went and tied this game, we would have been proud of our zeros on the board. So getting the goal was an extra bonus, but I'm really proud of the way we defended as a group today.
At 4-6-1 overall, the Eagles will play at Louisville Thursday evening. Finally, tonight in sports, Rowan County soccer teams play a twin ball this evening at Menifee County. The Viking boys return to action with a 9-5 record, and Coach Max Hammond is pleased with that, especially since his team's been without injured senior star Larry Whelan for much of the season.
I am for sure. Losing Larry hurt, but we've been able to push through it and still get some victories there and, play well. And, I'm happy to see that because, next year we're not going to have Larry. So So it's good for the young guys to see that they can win without him.
The Lady Vikings return to action, sporting a 7-2-6 record. That is going to do it for Sports Tonight. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Volleyball welcomes Austin Peay at 2 p.m. on Saturday in Weatherby Gym, and soccer will host Eastern Kentucky at 2 p.m. on Sunday at Jane Stadium. You can find tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed sharply lower amid uncertainty about the timing of a rate hike and concerns about global economic growth, and this, of course, continued to weigh on sentiment, and the S&P 500 fell below the psychologically key level of 1900 for the first time since August 26th. Healthcare fell more than 4% as the greatest decliner, and the Dow did finish near session lows with a loss of 312.78, putting the Dow Jones Industrials at 16,001.89. The S&P 500 was down 49.57 at 1881.77, and the NASDAQ Composite hard hit, especially by weakness in the biotech sector, with the NASDAQ down 142.53 at 4543.97. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 28-3 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Goldman Sachs was down 3.8% as it was the weakest Dow stock. The Dow and S&P are both on track for their worst quarter in 4 years. Apple closed nearly 2% lower, despite news that it sold more than 13 million units of the new iPhone 6S and 6S Plus models in a record first weekend of sales. And the NASDAQ Composite, as mentioned, weighed down by weakness in the biotechnology sector. The iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF falling by 6.3%. And this particular ETF is in bear market territory, with it now more than 20% from its 52-week high. Shares of Valeant Pharmaceuticals closed down nearly 17% amid news that Democrats are pressing a Republican committee chairman to force the pharmaceutical firm to turn over documents tied to a price hike from earlier this year. New York Fed President William Dudley said the central bank will likely raise rates this year in a speech today. Dow Jones actually reported this, and he noted that international events have created uncertainty about the U.S. outlook. At the same time, the Chicago Fed President Charles Evans said in prepared remarks that a later liftoff of interest rates would better help the U.S. economy navigate through uncertain economic trends. Ahead of Friday's key employment report, August personal income showed an increase of 0.3% in personal income for the month, and also a 0.4% increase in consumer spending, roughly in line with estimates. Treasury yields trim losses, with the 10-year yield at 2.1% and the 2-year yield at 0.66%. And the U.S. dollar reversed to trade mildly lower, with the euro above $1.12 and the yen at 119.91 against the greenback. And August pending home sales posted a decline of 1.4%, missing expectations of a slight gain, while pending home sales were up 6.1% overall from a year ago. Commodities weighed on the markets, with crude down more than 2.5% and copper finishing off more than 1.5%. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down $7.26 at 100, CSX down 54 cents at 25.98, AK Steel down 4 cents at 2.25, Marathon Petroleum down $2.27 at 45.06, AEP down 11 cents at 55.88, and Community Trust Bank was down 5 cents to finish at 34.97. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking a final look at your weather for tonight, mostly cloudy skies with scattered showers, lows in the lower 60s. The chance of rain is at 40%. For tomorrow, cloudy with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms early, then numerous showers and isolated thunderstorms later on. Highs will be in the mid-70s. The chance of rain is at 70%. It is currently 81 degrees in Morehead.
And that does it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Tanner Boyd, Jared Wesley, Arlo Barnett, Braxton Howard, Michael Gustin, Ellen Barnett, and Jacob Lindberg. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.